This is Ashley Bond, Miss Illinois USA 2009 and a member of the Chicago Lovables. And you're listening to Fred and Mark on the Chicago Bullseye.
What's going on? This is Joakim Noah of the Chicago Bulls, and you're listening to Chicago
Hello, Bulls fans, and welcome to another episode of the Chicago Bullseye. I am your host, Mark Blumenthal, and with me, as always, is the man, Fred Pfeiffer. Freddie, talk to me.
How you doing, brother? Good to talk to
Good.
You. I mean, I'm pretty exhausted today. Still recovering from my extended illness, and still recovering from that fantastic game last night, which didn't end until early this morning. And what a win, man. Just what a win to beat that team in that location. It just shows you that the Bulls definitely have another level that they could bring it up to, and they seem to do it pretty well against the better teams in the league, and for whatever reason, sometimes they turn it off against the worst ones. But I still think you see glimpses of what this team could do. We didn't have Jimmy Butler, we didn't have Dunleavy. You still see glimpses of how good this team could be. Without a doubt, enough talent to win a title. It's up to Tibbs and the players to get the mission accomplished. You know, it's not going to be easy. A lot of good teams still in the league, and especially in the East, and up-and-comers with Washington playing well, Atlanta obviously now for real, and Cleveland now just starting to tear it up since LeBron came back. But, the sky's the limit, man. Sky's the limit.
Yeah, I'm still amazed. I fell asleep yesterday. I wasn't that excited for the game. I didn't think we really stood a chance.
Oh,
obviously,
God.
I was wrong. I mean, they won. Good game. Well, I mean, it was a late game too, Freddie. I mean, I was watching it, but I fell asleep. Sometime around the fourth quarter.
Okay.
We were down by like 10 points. But, looking at the stats today, it's just amazing that we were able to pull that one off. I mean, I guess you did have two guys in Klay Thompson and Stephon Curry in Golden State that didn't shoot. Klay Thompson shot pretty well. Curry didn't shoot very well.
Klay Thompson,
they both shot a lot.
I thought Klay Thompson was going to have about 1,000 points after our first 5 minutes. It was absolutely insane how good he started off. And, it was just destroying us. And after we were able to kind of like withstand that opening fury, Bulls played really well after that, I thought, for the most part. I mean, they just hung in there, and it was kind of like, a heavyweight fight where a guy went down in round one, but was able to kind of, win on points and start really boxing throughout the fight and finally winning, with a couple of haymakers at the end. But, the guys you just can't say enough about. I know everybody's being really hard on Rose, right? He did have quite a bit of turnovers, double-digit turnovers. But as I always like to say, take a look who are the top 10 in the league in turnovers. They're LeBron James or Curry. They're guys that hold the ball. They're really good players for the most part. John Wall. These are the guys that are going to have turnovers. You dominate the ball. You hold the ball. You're going to have turnovers. Obviously, 10 is too much, or 11, whatever he finished with. But he had 30 points. And without him, Heinrich's not wide open for his, one of the few good things he actually did last night. And without him, other guys aren't able to succeed. So Gasol was freaking awesome, as usual, 18 points. And this is all off the top of my head, but 18 points. I think he had 8 assists, 15 rebounds, and 4 blocks. And, it constantly amazes me how many people I respect hate on this guy. It's just, to me, it's reminiscent of how people used to hate on Ben Gordon, lesser extent Nate Robinson. I mean, for whatever reason, people just don't seem to respect offensive players in this town. And, I find it exasperating, really, because the guy is freaking great. And just an FYI, blocking shots, it's part of defense, right? When you're able to protect the rim and affect people's shots at the basket, that's part of defense. So, anybody that has the nerve to compare him to Boozer is just an idiot. He's exponentially better on both ends of the court than Boozer was. And without Gasol, this team would be nowhere near what our record is right now. Sorry to interrupt you.
Who are you hearing making comments about Pau Gasol?
I'm not gonna expose them here. I mean, there are people on Twitter who are very intelligent Bulls fans. I like a lot. I have friends I like a lot who don't appreciate Pau Gasol. I have people who I like less who hate on Gasol. It amazes me. It just amazes me that he gets as much grief as he does. Because I don't think he can play better at the age he's at for the amount of money he's getting. He's been a freaking A+. He's a starter on the All-Star team. He's got more double doubles than anybody in the NBA. And the one game I always point to that really I was just exasperated after it was over was the Atlanta game, where obviously he had a hard time with Horford. Horford continually dominated that game and hit jumper after jumper. And after, the third or fourth time, when after a pick and roll, and Gasol's not able to get out on Horford quick enough, it's not Gasol's fault, it's your coach's fault. When it happens over and over, you need to make adjustments and take him off that man and put him on another player or pull him from the game. But people just kept on hammering Gasol, totally ignorant of the fact that although Horford scored 22 points in that game, I believe, again, this is off the top of my head, well, guess what? Gasol brought 22 too. He scored 22 on the offensive end. And he did not have a great game defensively there, but people continue to harp on he doesn't get out on the pick and roll. Yeah, he doesn't. He's not the greatest at coming out on centers on the pick and roll. The good news is there's not a lot of stretch fives in this league. You can count it on one hand. And, luckily last night was another example of a team without a guy who's going to harm you at the center position. And we thoroughly dominated Golden State without Gasol there. Now, Mark, I will tell you, it was driving me nuts with how we ran that offense yesterday. He spent most of his time on the perimeter. I'll never understand this. And God bless Stacey King for hammering it home. Why isn't Gasol in the post? Why isn't Gasol in the post? That's not on Gasol. That's on the coach. I don't know how many times the Bulls have run a pick and roll this season with Noah and Rose, and I swear to goodness, it seems like that play works 1 in 10. It's just not working this year for whatever reason. So stop running it. Finally, in Q4, I think they came, in overtime, they kind of started to get better results with a pick and roll with Gasol and having Noah show on the opposite side, cut to the rim, and make plays at the basket. Gasol had 2 assists, key assists to Noah on dunks or layups at the end of the game, and those were primarily off of Rose pick and rolls, which they doubled, back to Gasol on the perimeter, down low to Noah. That's a better play. I'd still like to see more in the post because I think good things happen there. I pointed to this at the second quarter. We were down 49-40, Mark, at the second quarter, okay? Bulls finally decided to go to Gasol in the post. Gasol in the post, kick out to Mirotić, nails a three, 49-43. Next time down, Gasol in the post, kick out to Rose, who then laid it in after the team sank on Gasol, 49-45. Ball back down to Gasol. Kind of a little bit of passing back and forth. Gasol hits a short jumper, 49-47. 4 minutes left in the half. Would you believe he didn't touch the ball for the remainder of the final 4 minutes of that half? It's just maddening. Just maddening. And, I'm glad we won, obviously. There were some great things that happened in that game. But we better get our act together with some of these plays. Because when the playoffs happen, we're not going to win unless there's a huge hunk of Gasol in the low post, half-court basketball. And that's what the playoffs are. And, pick and roll at the top of the key with Rose and Noah is not going to get it done in the playoffs. It's just not. Noah's not enough of a threat on the offensive end to make that play work. So I've talked for quite a while here.
He was enough of a threat last night, though. I think Noah probably had his best game of the season. Now, he did do that against a team that did not have Andrew Bogut last night. Golden State has, I don't understand how they're this good because they have a great backcourt, obviously, but best in the league, but
that's
they don't have a great
understand.
Front court. They don't have a lot of size.
Well, that's not true. And they got Bogut. He didn't play last night. That's a huge loss for them.
Huge loss.
Bogut, I've seen in person. Bogut is huge. He made Amir Sheik when in the game I went to. It's impossible to describe this unless you're there. You know, 8 rows up, which I was blessed to have that opportunity earlier this season. I never realized it. Andrew Bogut's probably a legit 7'2", 7'3". He's huge. He's stinking huge, and he's a huge part of their rim protection. He's a huge part of their defense. And with him not in there, that was a big loss for them. I thought, you know, Gasol was able to basically, well, he had the great game that he did, right? He had, 18 points on 11 shots, for God's sakes.
Yeah, but he only took, it was 12 shots, but he only took 12 shots. And I don't know, I mean, we won. I'm happy we won. But, you know, it wasn't the most efficient game in the world. I'm a little concerned about our offense. I mean, we didn't rely enough on going into the post to Gasol, like you said. When you're relying on your I mean, we don't really have, I mean, without Butler, it seems to me, without Butler and Dunleavy, the only guy on this team who really can score is Rose, or at least who we trust enough to kind of create his own shot with the ball. Now, you know, we can try to downplay. I realize what you're saying here about the best players having the most turnovers, and that's true. But I just looked at two of the top players in the league as far as most turnovers, and that was James Harden and Michael Carter-Williams. And neither of them have had double-digit turnover games this season at all. And they're both averaging between 4 and 4.5 assists a game. 11 turnovers is obscene. Now, I'm okay with it because, in my opinion, the worst part, now Derek, when he penetrates, has been able to make things happen this year, but he has not handled the ball in the paint as well as he used to in the past. And that's why I think you're seeing the turnovers. Hopefully that's something that he'll be able to get a hold of. I'm willing to support it because he's not a jump shooter, and I want to see him doing what he needs to do to get his confidence back going to the rim. Now, he still took 33 shots, and that is an obscene amount of shots. Klay Thompson yesterday took 27, also an obscene amount of shots, but he hit about 50% of them. Curry, it was about 23, and that's still a lot of shots. I mean, I get it. Butler's not there, you know, 20, you know, two shots, something like that. I mean, you did have overtime, so if we take overtime into play, you know, I don't know what his numbers were quarter by quarter, but 33 is a lot. You know, 4 for 12 from, I guess 4 for 12 from three is not absolutely horrible, but it's not that great. He still took 12 threes, and I mean, there's nobody last night on Golden State that took 12 threes. I mean, you had Thompson took 10, Curry took 9. Curry's probably the best three-point shooter in the league. He took 9 threes last night. You don't see Stephon Curry taking 12 threes. That's an obscene amount of threes. He still needs to rein it in a little bit. He had one assist, and he had no attempts from free throw line last night. I mean, it's unbelievable. 30 points, 33 field goals attempted, and not a single attempt from the free throw line with 12 three-point attempts. It's just, he's got to refine that part of his game. I'm okay with the turnovers, but he's got to be able to get to the line.
In his defense, Mark, I will say, I watched the game. I just don't understand, you know, there's just so many times where I think he was fouled. They let Curry get away with so much. He's one of these guys now that the referees have decided, you know what, we're going to give him all day. Let him just, you know, wipe people out, and we're not going to call anything. That's what they pretty much, you know, decided to do with Curry. Because I thought he got hammered several times and should have been at the free throw line. I'm not as concerned about that. And frankly, I'm not as concerned about the turnovers. I thought a lot of the turnovers he had were with just horrible, poor passes to the post. It just seemed like for whatever reason he was having trouble with that last night. I wasn't as upset about his game. It could be because I'm a little biased, obviously. I'm a huge D. Rose fan. But you know,
we all are.
You look at
we
it.
We all are.
Yeah. I mean, you look at it, he was plus 10. Gasol was plus 7. Tony Snell was minus 7. Overall, he had the highest plus minus on the team. Ironically, Kirk was plus 10 too. Surprisingly, he was 2 for 8 and 1 for 6 from the
which nobody's
three.
Talking about today. Nobody's talking about it today because he hit that three towards the end of overtime. And I mean, look, we could say what we want. I mean, it was a nice shot to hit. Obviously, he was wide open because of a great pass by D. Rose and the attention that Rose brings. But he was 2 for 8 yesterday. He's 1 for 6 from three. Our offense right now concerns me. I mean, I like Mike Dunleavy. Obviously, he's good at stretching the floor. But obviously, Jimmy Butler didn't play last night. That's a big part of our offense. But I'm still concerned that we may not have enough offensive firepower in that backcourt because we do rely on our backcourt a lot for offense, and Joakim Noah is not a great offensive player. Now, again, Noah last night had a great night. When you're 18 points, 15 rebounds, and 6 assists, those are very Joakim Noah-esque numbers right there.
Yeah.
Now, you had an easier night because you're not going against a guy like Andrew Bogut. We'll see if this continues. But you did hear Noah yesterday saying that he felt better than he has all season, and he backed it up with his play. If Joakim Noah's back, that's something that's a dynamic that we haven't seen this year yet. And it's going to take a little bit for this team to be able to learn how to play with this Joakim Noah, because a lot of these guys haven't played with him, and obviously Derrick Rose hasn't played with Noah being what he was last year. So we'll see kind of what happens there. But I would still... I mean, obviously, at this point in the year, who knows who you could possibly get, but I am a little concerned by the fact that Rose feels the need to take 33 shots. The fact that Kirk Heinrich is playing 38 minutes. I mean, just you've got some black holes offensively out there that I think we need to get that we need to get fixed. It can't just be the Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler show.
I'm not as concerned about it. Honestly, after watching that game last night, I thought Noah had the stats are a little bit not indicative of, you know, how he played. I thought he had a better night, but still he did a few things that were concerning to me. Most of his baskets were right at the rim on tip-ins and offensive rebounds, which is where he should be getting them. I mean, goodness gracious, Gasol and Rose are double-teamed so often that should leave the backside wide open for offensive rebounds, and that's a good thing, and I want to see that happen more often than not. I still saw some, you know, that Green rebound and layup was all on Noah. He was totally manhandled by him. He started out at the three-point line, got the rebound, put it back in, which forced the overtime. That was all on Noah. And I posted a video of that on my Twitter handle if you guys want to see it. But, you know, that said, he did a lot of good things, and he definitely was more active, and he definitely played better. To me, that fixes everything. Noah is the key here. Everybody's wondering, what's wrong with the Bulls? Is it this Gasol-Noah pairing, which I hear so much, they don't fit together. And I completely disagree with it. I think they'd fit together fine if Noah was playing the way he should be, showing the activity that he had last year, you know, playing like the Joakim Noah that we all know and love. He's been a shadow of himself. I don't care if it's Noah and Gibson. I don't care if it's Noah in the 1981 version of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The way he's been moving around at the early part of this year, he's not going to look good with anyone. I understand what you're saying. Well, he's playing the four now. He's got to come out a lot more than he does. You know, he had the last year. He's basically a rim defender last year. Yeah, I get all that. That said, he sucked for the vast majority of the early part of the season. I understand it has to do with his injury. If he's looking healthier, he's looking more active like he did last night, all this talk about Noah and Paul going together, playing together, is going to go right by the wayside because we're going to look freaking fine. We're going to be absolutely A-okay. You do have to do, nix a few things with the offense where, or tweak a few things with the offense where, I want, you know, somehow figure out ways to take advantage of I liked what they did at the end of that game yesterday, again, where you kind of overloaded one side, you did pick and roll with Rose on one side and Gasol, and that just attracts so much attention. They're able to get the ball to Noah either at the rim or in the middle of the court, and he should be able to do what he does best, which is, you know, pass the ball or score at the basket. So, you know, overall, I saw so many good things last night on the offensive end. I'm not worried like you are. Really. I think you need to calm down on that. The things we should be worried about, Heinrich's continued disintegration as a valuable NBA player. He hit that shot with, you know, nobody within 15 feet of him. God love him for hitting that shot.
15 feet? I think everybody was huddled under the hoop.
Waiting for a rebound. It was a big shot, no denying it, and he deserves a pat on the back for that. Outside of that shot, he was horrific on the offensive end. 2 for 8 from the field. Every shot he had was wide open, bricking every shot. I mean, he's just – the Bulls are playing 4 and 5 when he's out in the court. That's a concern. Taj is a concern. A little bit to me. You're going to find few people who love Taj more than I do, but I don't know where he developed this black hole mentality, or maybe I'm just noticing it, but I love Taj in the post. I think he's got a great post game, underrated post game. Last night was the first night I've seen him pass out of the post in probably 15 games this year that I've seen. I don't recall it. I mean, when it happened, I marked the date and the time. It was in the second quarter. He actually passed out of the post. He still has a tendency to, even if he's getting double or triple teamed, not to see wide open guys at the 3-point line. That's got to get better. Number 3, Mirotić has to get on the court. He was plus six again yesterday. When he's out in the court, you need that shooting to spread the floor, and I thought they played great with him at the three. That's got to happen more often than not. That's a huge thing, too. So you got to figure out Mirotić to get more minutes. I don't care if it's at Gasol's expense. I don't think Gasol should be playing these many minutes. Figure it out. And if it costs us a few games, who gives a crap? We're better on the road anyhow. So, you know, those are my concerns. Those are little things like that. And also, you know, if the team is, you know, getting run into the ground, those are the things I'm more concerned about than, you know, is this offense good or it's fine. We got the pieces. You just got to make them work together.
Yeah, and I think, you know what, I mean, I certainly feel, and I think you would agree with me, I feel a lot more confident about the team today than I did, I definitely feel more confident than I did on the last show. The last handful of games, Rose has been playing a lot better, he's been picking it up. He still shoots too much, and that was my complaint. I never thought, even when we did the last show and I got all heated, I never thought on the last show that he was going to continue shooting like that. It's the fact that I feel like he doesn't always take good shots and he shoots too much. You're starting to see him become more aggressive. He still needs to do, you know, some things to narrow down the shots that he takes and just takes more.
I'm sorry,
who'd
you say shoot too much? Who shoots too much? I'm sorry, he cut out on me when you said that.
Rose.
Well, he's our best player. Well, why are you constantly?
You're not balanced. You got to balance the team. Mark, you can't balance the team when he's shooting so much.
You've been hard on this since he was MVP. Who do you want shooting instead of him?
Moving the ball around. Like the Atlanta Hawks, like the San Antonio Spurs, we have the
talent. That's not what we are. No. The Hawks have five guys, all almost equal in skill, all with unique skill sets, all who can score. That's not what this team is. We got two guys who can score, Gasol and Rose, two guys who, you know, draw double teams. You got Noah with a unique skill set who's like a big man slash point guard whose rebounds, provides energy, and does great things in a defensive end. What do you want? You want the ball to go to Heinrich for wide open threes? We could have had that all night last night. Where would that have brought us? Nothing.
Gasol's as good offensively as anyone in Atlanta's front court. You're right. Noah's not a shooter, but you could still move. Noah can he can pass the ball really well. He can move without the ball. You could still get Noah involved in the offense. Gibson's good, but I mean, when Butler's playing, obviously, you know, I'm harping on something that's, you know, kind of been the whole season here, not just last night. You know, Mirotić should be playing more because he can spread the floor. I think that if you have the right guys out there, the Bulls could be sharing the ball more, creating shots for each other. That's something that I'd like to see Rose do a little bit more of, because I feel like it's easy to defend him when you know that he's going to go with it. And regardless, he's just shooting good enough where it's like, I mean, whatever, we won last night. And God bless him, we won last night. But you're not going to win a lot of games when you're having that inefficient of a night overall. But, hey, he's looking a lot better. He's starting to head, you know, clearly in the right direction in terms of the type of player that he should be. There's some things that I still would like to see him try to rein in, but the rest I think is a little bit of rust. I think the turnovers are most likely mostly rust. I mean, just keep doing what you're doing, and hopefully in the next month or so you start seeing him having more games like this. His stats are definitely jumping up. I want to move on. Did you see Times today?
I just want one more statement.
Go ahead.
I'm feeling a lot better about Derrick Rose. I think everybody should be. I don't get the hate on Derek. I don't get the – what is it with this fan base? It's just unbelievable. There's so many people who are willing to jump on him. And you know, he's getting better. You see it happening. I think he's been phenomenal in the last few weeks overall. Even during this bad streak, he's been clearly our best player. That's what we need. I think for us to win a title, Derrick Rose has to be our best player. He has to be the guy that – it can't be Gasol, which has been for the majority of this year. Can't be Jimmy Butler. It's got to be Derek. And I see it happening, man. I think it's coming. And last night he had a couple moves. I know you didn't get to watch the game, but just left me like, wow. And even the game winner. I mean, how great was that shot?
It was a great shot. No, and I saw, I mean, I did see a lot of the game. So, but, and yeah, he absolutely has been making, you know, great cuts. He's been having great moves, leaving guys in the dust. The game winner, obviously. You've seen that a few times this year, that step back jumper that he's able to do. You know, he seems to be as good in the clutch right now as he's been in his whole career. He's hit a handful of game winners this year. I mean, there's a lot of good things right now. I think he's played 42 games in a row right now. 42 games this season. He's had, like, I can't remember what the streak was, but the amount of games that he's played in a row. I mean, he's played, obviously, the most amount of games that he's played in a row in a very long time. He hasn't missed a game in quite some time. You're shaking off some of the rust right now, and I think you're seeing that he still has the ability to be a top-tier talent. He's not there yet. His skills are not there yet, but obviously everything else seems to be. His explosion and everything else. And I was reading a Bill Simmons article about a week ago in Grantland that said that Derrick Rose is never going to be Derrick Rose again. You know, yeah, pretty much that was the gist of the whole article. He was railing on Rose and saying that it clearly doesn't have the stuff anymore, and I don't agree with that. I watching him play, he's got the stuff still. He's hesitant, I think, to constantly use it, but you're seeing that he's getting more confident in it. Well, I'm not losing my faith in Derek. Yeah. I just think he's got to rein it in a little bit. That's all. Look, make your teammates better, try to create shots for others, and then get yours. You can get it whenever you want.
But
it's clear that he can get it whenever he wants.
You say he's hesitant to use all the time. That's the way he should be. You think, I don't want him going to the rim every stinking regular season game, getting foul. I don't think that's the best interest of the Bulls in the long run. What that leads to is injuries. I want him to pace himself. When the playoffs come, yes. Let it all hang out, man. Go to that rim every freaking time. But I don't want him demanding, you know, sacrificing his body, going to the basket, you know, every stinking game. Again, I don't. I don't think that's the best move on his part. And I think he's been fine the way he's been doing it. He chooses his moments, and that's what you should do. Just to recklessly go back out there and every game is at the rim and sacrificing his body like he did in his MVP year, I don't think it's conducive to long-term success, because it will result in injury and will result in the ending of any hopes that we have for winning a title.
Yeah, but him averaging 6 threes a game is not good for our long-term success either. He's taking one less three a game than Klay Thompson. He's not, and Stephon Curry. He's not, you know, those guys from three. That's what he's averaging. I mean, he's right now tied with a bunch of players for, you know, top in the league as far as 3 points per game go. I mean, for ESPN, he's like tied for third. Now you have groups of people in each of those brackets. So you have like five guys tied for second. You have one guy clearly in first. That's Wesley Matthews. But you know, in that, right after that, like you have a bunch of guys put together, and Derrick Rose is in that slot taking as many threes per game as Kyle Korver. That's not in our best interest either. So do I agree with you? Sure, Fred. Like the year that he won MVP, he had a deadly mid-range shot, and he used that to open up, get into the hoop, and he went to the hoop mercifully. Now I think you need to see him rely a little bit more on that 15-footer, because that's still a good shot for him. It's just the real long-range shots. I'm not saying don't take them. Spread the floor. You seem to be able to hit them from time to time. Good job, D-Rose. It's just when you take such an obscene amount of them that it's difficult to keep a decent percentage.
I understand your concerns. I do. And I would concur that I don't think it's, for the Bulls to succeed, it's not great that he's shooting 6-7 shots at the current rate where he's at, right? I just don't have any problem with it during the regular season. If this continues in the playoffs, I don't think we're going to be at our best with that, unless he's hitting at an incredible percentage. I'm not as concerned about it right now. Especially,
well, can we move on to an interesting story today? I don't know if you read the Sun Times today, Fred. Did you at all?
I've been
see that story.
My head's been in the sand with work all day. What's the story? Okay.
Well, Joe Crowley is reporting the relationship between Bulls and Thibodeau will not last. He pretty much is I mean, you got to read the article, but he's saying that this is his quote, that things behind the scenes are very ugly right now. I don't think there's any chance of it getting better. And if you were asking me right now, unless things change, and obviously we have to see what happens in the playoffs, I think the two sides will be parting ways at the end of the season. That's just my opinion. I don't see the relationship lasting this long. I just have a feeling this front office is building its case as why they should get rid of Thibodeau, and has been since the beginning of the year.
Well, you know what? There are a couple things that really bothered me. You know, Jeff Van Gundy going off on Bulls management, all that nonsense. Bulls management has been trying to protect Tibbs from himself. That's what's been happening. They've been imposing minute limits. They've been imposing things, restrictions. That's the smart thing to do. I know we all are in bizarre world and want to think that Tibbs is infallible and he could do no wrong. He's one of the best defensive coaches I've ever seen. I have questions about his based on what happened with Korver and that idiot Bogans, and I can go up and down the list how Butler never played in his rookie year. I have some questions about his judgment of talent. There is no question he's an excellent X and O's coach. There's no question he's a fantastic coach, and he gets a lot out of his team. There are major questions about whether or not this guy can win a title based on what has happened throughout the years and how he's, without a doubt, run his team into the ground. I've always said under Tibbs, for the most part, we've peaked in January. Everybody talks about all the injuries we have, and I want to bang my head against the wall. He's partly responsible for those injuries. I know he spends half of his interviews defending his practices, defending, talking about what Phil Jackson did 20 sticking years ago. I've heard the same thing in other sports about how Cy Young had all these complete games. That's not the way it is anymore. That's not how teams that win titles do it. All you have to do is look at what, you know, Coach Potts did for San Antonio last year. So I'm not going to get into all the things that piss me off about him. I will state that I think Jeff Van Gundy's criticism of management was ridiculous. I thought it was pathetic. I thought, I'm going to defend Bulls management. I know that's not popular to do, but I think they've done an excellent job with acquiring talent for this guy. I don't buy the narrative that the Bulls, which is the basic narrative in the fan base, that's this Bulls, he's done so much with this team. They have no talent. They're horrible. Hey, I totally disagree with that. I think he has a unique set of talented big men in Taj Gibson and Jakeem Noah that other coaches would die for. And I think that's those players are excellent players. I agree he's done a lot with, you know, to win outside of the injuries. Again, I said he's partly responsible for those injuries, but his record in the playoffs is 17-22. That's what it is, okay? You can give me all the excuses and all the reasons for why they're not better. I thought we should have done better last year, even without Rose, in the playoffs against Washington. We were embarrassed in that series. I could go on and on about Heinrich playing and the minutes allocations. There's major issues with some of those things that he controls. People don't want to think they are issues, they are. And if management wants to step in and force their hand and say, you're not going to play Noah to death, you're not going to play Derrick Rose to death, that's what they should do. That's why we're going to be peaking, hopefully, in the playoffs as opposed to January. So I know Cowley hates Rose. I know he hates, has a big problem with management, and I know he's a big Tibbs fan. Fine. He's a Mr. Old School, and he wants to be a hard ass and talk about, you know, you should go out there and work and all that other nonsense. All I know is some of the things I've heard, which I do believe, that he called a practice after 4 games and 5 nights, inexcusable. The team was upset about it, and rightly so. I don't know anybody in any other job who would be happy about having to come in on a Saturday or Sunday. Bobby Knight mentality is dying quickly in this society, and rightly so, okay? So he's a great coach. He's got some issues that are easily fixable. But when you see Jeff Van Gundy criticize the Bulls organization like he did, that's coming from Tibbs. That's him talking to Van Gundy, hey, these guys are making me do this. These guys are forcing limits on me. They're causing me all these problems with my team. They're not letting me run things the way they want. And I just want to scream at them, dude, they're trying to save you from yourself. They're doing the right thing. I'm done. What's your opinion?
Well, I mean, you know, Crowley's case against you would be that pretty much he says at some point you have to look in the mirror, what's the problem here? It can't be Skiles and Vinny Del Negro, and it can't be Phil Jackson. So he starts pointing at all the people that allegedly the Bulls management has run out of town. Now, look,
serious?
We can look. This is a quote from Joe Crowley. I mean, look, Skiles, you know, we all know what happened with Skiles. Skiles got very full of himself very quickly. He played our hand when he was got his contract extension. He ended up showing that he wasn't really that great. He was extremely hard-headed. I mean, I think you could say the same thing about Tibbs, that you've got guys there that are hard-headed, and management does need to kind of step in every now and again and say, hey, whoa, this is what we need to be doing here. When you talk about Vinny Del Negro, Vinny Del Negro did some really dumb things, and he played Joakim Noah beyond his minutes requirements that the team imposed on him. And you're absolutely right. The team has that right to do that. The medical staff has that right to do it. And it's the coach's job to not put their own self-interest above that of what is best for the team and the future of the team, which is what I believe that obviously management has in their best interest. And then when you're talking about, like, Phil Jackson, I mean, you know, that was obviously of somebody else. That was Jerry Krause. So, you know, I agree with you. I think that we've seen the fact that Tibbs runs his players into the ground. I don't know what it is that specifically they're complaining about in terms of the undermining, but if the Bulls have another last, you could make the excuse the year that Rose tore his ACL and the year after that, but beyond that, you know, last year you have to look straight at what was out there, and I think a lot of us thought that we would beat Washington. We got killed in that series. Now, I think in hindsight now you could see the talent that was budding on that team, and they were quite a bit more talented than us, but, you know, regardless, this team, you can't make those excuses for. So if this team doesn't have playoff success, I agree. Got to look back kind of at Coach Tibbs here and say, hey, what's going on? Because you're right, you do got a guy like Kirk Kiener playing, you know, a lot of minutes, playing like 30-some minutes a game, shooting like 20%. So, you know, those are his choices. Those are his choices. And I mean, he's a great coach. I don't want to take him for granted, but let's not put him in this Popovich category yet. He hasn't won anything. He hasn't done anything quite yet. He had a great first season, but also Derrick Rose was the MVP of the year of the league that year, and they went very far. I mean, to the Eastern Conference Finals, you can't discredit that year. But since then, we can say a lot of things about this team.
Let me just say there's a history. There is a history to this a little bit. I remember when Doug Collins was fired. Doug Collins was fired after taking a Bulls team to the Eastern Conference Championship game. They lost to the games. They lost to the Pistons. And I remember hearing he was fired, and I was just flabbergasted. How the heck could you fire this guy? This guy's done a fantastic job. I was angry. I was furious. Who the hell is Phil Jackson? That's what I said. And that's what the reaction would be if we have another disappointing playoff exit again, I guarantee you. But I'm telling you, you know, guys you've never heard of, look at Atlanta. Who ever heard of Mike Budenholzer? You have to get a guy off that Popovich tree, if at all possible, because those guys like Kerr all seem to be succeeding pretty well. And that's what I would do if it doesn't work out with Thibodeau. You got two trees. You got the Riley tree, which is where Thibodeau comes from. Jeff Riley, Jeff Van Gundy, Thibodeau. That's the tree he comes from, and you have Popovich. Those are the guys who have been primarily the most successful. That Riley tree is dying quickly, because the way you win in that tree is by hard work, work harder. I'm going to run these guys in the ground. You know, don't complain to me. My way or the highway. And then you have the Popovich tree, which is frankly, you know, there's a lot of those same concepts, but it's a lot more life-work balance, a lot more, you know, take a night off, that kind of stuff, which I think is the way of the future. I really do. Use your full bench, you know, that kind of stuff.
Especially when you have an old team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying fire. I don't think it's the right decision, right? I'm saying right now, if this team does not go to the Eastern Conference Finals, he has enough talent on this team to make that happen. And if we have a disappointing first-round exit and he can't, I'm not going to shed a tear. I know it's under – because I really firmly believe he should do much better than we've done with this team. I thought last year's team – to me, it was almost a fireable offense for what happened to Noah in the playoffs. Everybody wonders why he looks so horrible. He averaged almost 40 minutes the last 10 games. And then after the season, he sits there in front of the press and says, well, Noah's knee's been bothering him since the middle of the year. And I just wanted to run up to the Berto Center, since nobody had the guts to ask, why the hell did he average 40 minutes and 10 meaningless season-ending regular season games against subpar 500 teams? How is that smart? His knee wouldn't have gotten any better. That's the dumbest argument I've ever heard in my life. Everybody gets better with rest. Everyone does. That's how you get better. It's mind-numbingly stupid, some of these answers that he has. And I'm not trying to take anything away from him. He's a great coach. I mean, no denying that. He works his ass off, and there's a lot of great aspects to him. But this particular aspect is so stupid and so dumb. I mean, yeah, I still point to last year, Rose got hurt in the Portland game. What happens if he would have got hurt in the last game of the preseason, where he had Derrick Rose out on the court, in a game against the Indiana Pacers where they won by 10 in the last preseason game? How stupid was that? I mean, it could easily happen there. Would anybody be talking about Derek? Would anybody be talking about Thibodeau now? I think he would have been fired. I really do. And I feel that way now. I get nervous sometimes now when I see him out, Derek out in the court, up by 20. Why? You know, why is he out there? Get him off the court as soon as you can. I don't know. I've gone on ad nauseum on this stuff, Mark. I'm sorry about it. I gotta the road too. You know, we'll talk about your fantasy thing maybe next show. But
well, it'll be distant news. It'll be distant news by that point.
No, I think it's timeless news because I'd like to hear everybody's opinion on it. But your final comments. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, I mean, I think you summed it up pretty good, Fred. As far as Bulls basketball goes, I'd love to stick up for my fantasy deal. But do you know what ended up happening with that fantasy deal? Can we just say it really fast?
Go ahead, because this is the first time. And just to let everybody know, Mark and I are in a fantasy league. He's horrible. I'm okay. And
you're not that good.
He made a trade.
Well, wait. Let me set it up. So I'm 10th in the league, which is third to last right now. I have not had a good season. I didn't get to draft my team, unfortunately. I had an obligation that I couldn't get out of that night. My cousin's wedding, big deal. It's a major deal. And so my team is bad. The season's over. And I wanted LaMarcus Aldridge from my buddy Stu. I have Blake Griffin on my team, but he does not want to do an even swap for Blake and LaMarcus Aldridge. And I offered him Blake Griffin and Paul Millsap for LaMarcus Aldridge because I knew that it would get him to make the deal. And it did get him to make the deal. The deal got turned down by the league because pretty much everybody thought I was giving him too much for LaMarcus Aldridge, which I understand I was. But I'm doing it in the best interest of myself moving forward. My anger with it was the fact that I didn't think that I should have been told who I can and cannot trade, especially when we have a futures league. I feel like as an owner of a team or a manager that it's important for me to be able to control who's on my team to the best of my ability. And if I feel like at some point in the season that the team's kind of fallen apart, I mean, what's the big deal getting some more losses in an effort to make myself better for next year? The deal got turned down. Hang on. And what ended up happening is the whole world knew that I was offering these two players for an upgrade. So I got offered LeBron James, and that's who just got put on my team today. LeBron James got traded in the fantasy league for Blake Griffin and Paul Millsap and Langston Galloway.
Really? How did I not hear this?
Just happened today.
Oh my gosh! I'm like,
so I win, Fred. I win, Fred.
Well, let's go back. I think it starts with that. The vast majority of people should be shocked and wonder, first of all, what's your obsession with – I don't get it. You know, I don't get your obsession with Aldridge. Blake for Aldridge is questionable in itself, I think. I mean, they're both almost equal, I would say, maybe. You can make arguments for either or. But then you throw in a borderline all-star in Millsap, it becomes just such a glaringly dumb deal. I understand why they had to be nixed. Do you see what I'm saying?
I mean, I get it. I mean,
well, then why did you propose it? It's very easy to get. It's stupid. It's beyond dumb.
Well, here's the thing. I proposed it. I had no problem giving up my season to get the player I wanted.
But
I
why
really
would
like
you
Griffin,
not? Why?
Griffin wasn't that. Griffin had a slow start to the year too. So I mean, his numbers have gotten back to where they've been, you know, in the past. But for half the year, his numbers were not there. And I just, you know, at the end of the day, fantasy basketball is about having fun. I don't enjoy watching Blake Griffin. I just don't really like him that much. I'd rather have a player that I would go out and watch Portland Trailblazers games because I like LaMarcus Aldridge. Now, was it? I mean, Stu wanted a difference maker, and I get it. Like, it's like if I'm going to give up the player I really want, LaMarcus Aldridge, who's like the second best player on his team, he wants something because he's not going to keep the player that I give him. He's only keeping Blake Griffin. So at the end of the year, so it's the fact that for this year, he wants a big boost. So the boost is Paul Millsap. But looking at his team, he was not going to keep Paul Millsap next year. So I'm not giving him two keepers. I'm giving him one. But you're getting a dramatic increase this year in the player that I'm giving as well, so that you're willing to give up LaMarcus to me. Griffin's had a history of issues. He's had injuries. Now I know LaMarcus right now is playing with the torn.
Aldridge has been a picture of health. It's so ridiculous, Mark. It's like trading like Brady for Manning in fantasy football. Let me just throw in Forte. I mean, what? It just screams that something's not right in Denmark here. That's the problem. If Stu would have countered with another player, then that might have been acceptable. But there were probably about, it seemed like to me, 10,000 texts going back and forth. I didn't have any time to review it. I just heard about this, you know, literally almost today or yesterday. I spoke briefly with a few people about it, and I understand Aldridge for Griffin. I still think Griffin is better. number one. But number two, when you throw in Millsap, who's a very good player, it just doesn't make sense. So, I mean, I don't understand. You shouldn't take offense. It's just, you know, if people said, maybe they got personal and said it was dumb. But, you know, can you also see why people would think it was dumb? I mean, I think you're a great guy and I love you, but I think it was stupid. It was.
Oh, I understand. But, I mean, yes, there were some disparaging comments made, but at the end of the day, my biggest issue was just the fact that there was meddling with my team. It's like, this is a deal I wanted to make, so what difference does it make? I mean, if I want to make this deal, and
well,
this
the difference
what I
because
think
you're giving Stu a much better team. That's the difference. Some people are actually competing with him, and it's not right that you would make such a stupid trade that clearly makes Stu's team far better than they are now.
Well, I offered the same deal to about three different teams. So for whatever their best player was, I offered.
You offered it for me for Curry. How is that equal to? You think Aldridge isn't even the same transfer? Curry is arguably probably.
Yeah, but
the
I'm giving you two all-stars. I got LeBron for that deal, Fred. So you can't tell me that Curry's not a good deal because I got LeBron for.
Well, number one, I didn't know you were talking about fantasy when you offered it to me. I thought you were like, would you trade? I thought you were doing like a. You know, just basically a question about basketball in general. And the answer is, I think Stephen Curry is he's untradeable. I would not trade him for any player in the league, including LeBron. LeBron's 30.
Well, any two players in the league? Yeah, but our fantasy league only goes till next year. So, whatever.
All right. Enough said.
Thanks for agreeing with me, Fred, as always.
I don't think I did. But anyhow.
I'm going to take it as that. It sounded like agreement to me.
Well, I'm glad it worked out for you. I can't believe the trade was for LeBron. Wow. I didn't even hear about
right?
that.
Right? Now I got LeBron, John Wall, and Chris Bosh to start the year.
Man, it shows you how out of it I've been on this thing. I didn't even know it was a, you know, basically like a league where you could keep the same guys. Can I pick any guys to keep?
Any of your three. You get three guys to keep. Do whoever you want.
Interesting. Well, Curry will be one of them. Maybe Dirk. I don't know. I got kind of an old team. Good team, but old.
I see you taking Kyle Korver.
I have Kyle Korver. Yeah,
I know. I see you taking him and keeping him.
Maybe. Probably.
Well, ponder on it.
I got to spread the floor,
time.
Mark.
You got to spread the floor. Like, Stephon Curry doesn't do it well enough. So.
Exactly. All right,
I can see you want to win in one category, and that's three-point shooting.
Which I do. I think I've doubled everybody in three-point shooting, and maybe that's part of the problem, I think, you know.
You need a little bit of balance. You need a little bit of, especially when so much of the league is field goal percentage and rebound. Like, you have other stats that those two guys would never excel in.
Right, exactly.
But, Fred, I appreciate your insight and your guidance, as always. And let's keep watching the Bulls. Let's hope we're on a good turn right now. And until next time, if any Bulls.
Any basketball. Sounds good, my man.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Should make you wanna stand up. If you are already standing, put your hands up. Real high man, try and touch the banners. It's the home of the champions. Hard work can turn a home to a mansion. Need you to put your hands up, cause they don't know we gotta make them understand us. From the flow seats to the nosebleeds, from the young ones to the OGs, from the Bob Loves to the Rosés, and from the MJs to the Joe Kings. See the statue outside, high flow team. Take a picture, this is a city full of winners. You ain't got horns, you better dress warm. It really get chilly in the city in the winter. Let's go. 90, 190, 390, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690, 690
I've been a horns in, representing for the city I was born in. From the go, so you know that we be going in. Swear to God that I think we're about to score again. And we got that rate, we got that file, and we got that freight. They got that style, but we got that stay. So we shut that down, cause we got that date. Never let my city down, man, I put that on red cup. Every junction make the cover of a magazine. Feeling flyer than Benny on a trampoline.
For the city I was born in. I've been a hard zip. For the city I was born in.